What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. Another good show today. The job has been officially posted. The head coaching job has been officially posted. Does that mean that Jim Leonard is the guy for sure? And do we agree with the timing on this? We're going to get into that and more on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. I am Ryan Herrigs, your host, your team every single day. And we really do appreciate everybody tuning into the show, continuing supporting the show. We're going to bring Justin in here. Justin, a long time, obviously, friend of the show. What's up, my friend? We got things to discuss.
We do.
We got stuff to talk about. So we're going to start here. Segment one, the job has been officially posted. Like, people have been talking about this for a long time. You can't hire them. The job's not posted. The head coaching job has been posted, which means the university has to wait 7 days. Chris McIntosh has to wait 7 days to name the guy. Does this basically mean that Jim Leonard is that dude? And how do you feel about the timing?
This 100% means that he's the dude. In fact, I believe it's already been reported in the Journal Sentinel that they have two sources and they've said that Leonard is the guy. I think without a doubt, it's him. The timing of this, if you look at it, if there was anything that would stop them from starting or making the outright, you know, putting it out there until the end of the season, it fits for them to say post Minnesota game, hey, Jim's the guy. I don't know if that was actually a restriction or not. I don't believe it is historically, but it's just this whole thing played out kind of weird based off of what we're seeing here. I'm very curious to see how much of an actual view, you know, background look they took into other people and what we actually are taking a look at. I don't know how I feel about all this. You know, I like Jim Leonard, but I have been underwhelmed with what we've seen over the last 6 weeks. And that's not all on him. Like, there's a lot of restrictions. His arms are kind of tied on him a little bit, but it does leave us with a lot of questions, I feel like, with regards to this, that he hasn't had a chance to answer because of the limitations that he has.
Yeah, I've been pretty vocal on this in terms of, I agree with you. So it played out weird to me because I've been pretty vocal in terms of I've really respected Chris McIntosh kind of trying to not take, because then we talked about it. The easy decision is just hire Leonard right away, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it would keep the recruiting staff together. Alumni want it. Fans would love it. It's an incredibly easy sell, right? The team locker room bonded around him. Players are talking about it. Braylon Allen comes out in the media and says, if JL's here, I'll be here. That's one of your star players, like one of the more nationally recognized Wisconsin players. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's the easy hire. And I was actually really impressed with McIntosh kind of saying, we're going to do a search and then holding off naming Jim Leonard the guy. And now it feels like it's a bit of a middle ground, which I don't really love. Like,
yeah,
we've already come to this point. I would still prefer to go to the offseason, have a couple real interviews, and it still is probably going to be Jim Leonard, and I'm totally fine with that. Like, I like Jim Leonard, like you said, but I would like to see more of a exhaustive search because it's such a big hire. And it feels like this is a kind of a weird middle ground timing wise, which I don't love, but I do love Jim Leonard. Like, yeah, sometimes when I say this, people come back and say, well, why don't you want Jim Leonard? I do want Jim Leonard. I love Jim Leonard.
There's just questions there. Like, there's questions. We know Jim Leonard is, I would say, in my opinion, he is the best defensive coordinator in college football. I think flat out he is. But I don't know what he is as a head coach. And we've seen plenty of coordinators that can't get it done. Now, I have a good feeling about Jim Leonard, but he still hasn't done it. So there's a lot of questions that have yet to be answered with him, that there is a certain amount of risk there. And Wisconsin is at a very rough spot with where they are as a program right now. Like, there are a lot of changes that have to come through with this change. NIL has to be handled correctly. Recruiting has to be handled correctly. This program, people don't seem to understand how big of a crossroads this is. If this hire is not a good hire, Wisconsin could have a long road back to the top if this is handled poorly. If we have the next two or three recruiting cycles fall on their face and NIL isn't handled correctly, Wisconsin could turn quickly from a top 20 program into a top 50 program. That's strictly an on the field thing that I'm saying there, because Wisconsin as a program kind of prints money, but there is a the way I look at it, it will take a culture shift hardcore if this is wrong. Like, they will have to bring somebody in who completely reinvents the program if this falls on its face.
Yeah, I agree. If you get this hire wrong, because Krista already started pushing the cart downhill, mm-hmm. right? So if you get this hire wrong, it's going to take even more momentum to get it going back uphill.
There's been a lot neglected.
Yeah. And well, that's where I want to go next, though, because one of the things I've liked about Jim Leonard in the press conferences, he's acknowledged it. He's been really upfront with player development has been neglected. A lot of little things have been neglected. I got to get those things back in place. And I want to transition into upside. So let's say he is the guy. Okay, let's say this is a home run hire. Jim Leonard's the guy. To me, the upside here is you have him for the next 20 years. Like, probably, and if he's the guy, you have a home run coach who bleeds Wisconsin for 20 years, which
there's zero doubt to that. He's a young coach who's going to be a guy who can relate to players quite a bit. He's a guy who is very well spoken and thoughtful. The biggest thing with him, like we talked about this the other day, he's not a showy guy. He's not a guy that's going to put himself out there and be the commander type. He's a guy who's going to push all the accolades and everything back on his players, which is both a plus and a minus. Like, there's something to be said for that figurehead who's larger than life and is the face of your program. Wisconsin, you know, that's what Alvarez was. And we saw what that led to. Like, he led to the highest heights in Wisconsin history.
Bielema had a little bit of that too.
Yeah. That swagger that I'm the general leading my guys into it. And I think that if we look at it from the mentality standpoint, I think Jim is a little bit more of a Chris type guy in terms of he's a guy that the players really like and that they want to be around and believe in. But he's not, I don't view him as the type of guy who seems like a hard-headed Leipold, you know, we're running this my way and we're going to do it right way. And we're going to get to where we want to go. Like he's that hard, tough as nails, kind of like, we're going to do this, run it military style kind of guy that I don't see that being what Leonard is.
Yeah. I think he'll have his own style. I think he's more adaptable than Chris did. Chris was iconoclastic in the way that he was trying to run this program. Like, there was very little room on the margins for Paul Chryst. I think
Leonard wasn't comfortable with change. Yeah. Leonard is much more comfortable with it.
And Leonard has said that. Like, my favorite quote from Jim Leonard, and this may be, he may coach for 20 more years, and this may be my forever favorite Jim Leonard quote, was, you know, tradition doesn't die when you adapt. Mm-hmm. And I think right there he nailed on the head. Like, you can adapt this program and keep the Wisconsin tradition.
Yeah.
But coming up, because this, I think we're going to have a bunch more on Jim Leonard. Like, a lot more on Jim Leonard. But coming up, Justin and I are going to talk about a hire that I think might be even more important than the Jim Leonard hire. And that's going to be coming this offseason. It's a question that needs to be answered. We're going to talk about that next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at Simply Safe. If you've thought about securing your home with home security but have been putting it off, you're going to want to listen up. Right now, Locked On Badgers listeners can order the number one rated Simply Safe home security system for 50% off. This is their biggest offer of the year. You don't want to miss it. Here's why I love it. I've talked about it before. I can speak to this from the heart. I have Simply Safe in our house, and it gives us peace of mind for my kids, my fam. Or if I take a work trip, I know our home is secured with professional security system, a professional security monitoring system. And we also have kids. So when they come in and out of the house, we can hear that chime. Like, I can hear them go, and I know that something is happening. And it just gives us peace of mind. You can't put a price on peace of mind. It's peace of mind for myself, my wife, my family. That's why we use it. And Simply Safe was named the best home security system of 2022 by U.S. News World and Reports. That's the third year in a row, building a dynasty in the security world. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system I recommend. That get 50% off any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/lockedonbadgers or /lockedoncollege. I'm sorry. This is the biggest discount of the year, so don't wait. That's simplysafe.com/lockedoncollege. There is no safe like Simply Safe. Thank you all for tuning in to Locked On Badgers today. Make it one of your first listens. For your second listen today, go check out Locked On Sports Today. All the biggest news, sports stories, scores of the day wrapped up in one show, only on the Locked On Network. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's bring Justin back in. This conversation to me is interesting. We're both there. Jim Leonard's going to be the head coach, barring something crazy unforeseen. So let's continue down that train. Mm-hmm. the offensive hires on the staff or the retaining of offensive coaches, starting with the offensive coordinator, to me is the biggest offseason question for this entire program. I want to kick it to you with that kind of lead in.
They flat out have to make a hire that is every bit as impressive on the offensive side of ball as Jim Leonard has been on the defensive side.
So you're already saying Ingram has to go.
I'm saying that we have not seen enough from him this season in order to say that this is his job. And I don't know what his relationship is with Jim, but looking at it, and I went over this, you remove the Northwestern game from the equation, which I think, quite frankly, has been fool's gold to the season. His scoring output as offensive coordinator over since the Paul Chris shackles have been taken off was 28 points in a very uncomfortable and messed up game versus MSU, was 35 against Purdue. 7 of those were a defensive touchdown. One of the touchdowns was a 14-yard drive, and another one was a 52-yard broken touchdown run. And then we've had 23 points, 10 points, and 15 points. And these are not, we're not playing Ohio State or Michigan in these games. Like these, there's a lot of mediocre out there that we are not getting better. And he's had more time to implement his vision of what this offense should be. And I realize we've had some issues with weather, but you have to find ways to get it done. And the reality is we're regressing offensively. Right now I look at it and it's like, we're not the only team in the country that's had to deal with weather the last several weeks. And most of them have not struggled this thoroughly to do anything. Now you can look at the other teams against us, but they're facing a really good defense. And Wisconsin's really only played Iowa. That's a great defense in mm-hmm. their time over this last, how long. So my way of looking at it is this, they need somebody who's a home run hire. And right now Wisconsin is hanging at 75th in the country in scoring.
That's not good enough.
No, they need to be top 40 at worst. So Wisconsin has a chance here to revitalize and get far more aggressive offensively. And quite frankly, simplify the scheme outright too. Like, I think there's a lot that can be done there to make this a far more QB friendly offense and balance it even more so than what it's been. Like, the passing game still isn't really truly working. Mertz has taken a step forward in terms of statistically at least, and we've proven that there is something to be there, but like there's no reason why we can't be significantly better than what we are offensively right now. Like the bare minimum with Wisconsin's talent level that they bring in is 30 points. Well, you're probably ceiling is closer to like 38.
To your point though, you can't be 75th in scoring, and you can't have three straight games where you basically can't score on offense. Mm-hmm. If the defense doesn't pitch a perfect game, right, then you're going to lose it. You just can't do that. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about this before. We were talking even before the show. Where I'm at on this one, I don't even think it's really fair to Bobby Ingram. Like, I think he was brought into kind of not an ideal situation for a first time offensive coordinator with a head coach that was too controlling, and quite frankly, some assistants around him also in new spots, mm-hmm. and the head coach gets fired. Like, that's not a great situation to get started, but I don't care. Like, I'm sorry, but you have to go get somebody in my opinion, who is a legitimate coach who has proven it. Like, why
exactly?
What's something Wisconsin has done too much of, in my opinion, and this was Paul Chris to some degree, but hiring coaches and then expecting them to learn on the job. Like, Wisconsin shouldn't be a place where an offensive coordinator is learning on the job. And if you're Jim Leonard, right, young coach, defensive coordinator, doesn't have that offensive background, you got to go get someone who can control and coordinate an offense.
Bobby Ingram is making $1 million this year. $1 million. You know how many offensive coordinators that are probably in the top 40 that are making that kind of money? I would bet you there's probably 15 to 20 guys that are making half that mm-hmm. that he could probably go after and say, I can get you, double your pay, and you have a track record proven that you're an exceptional coordinator already. There's no reason why you can't just go get somebody that already has done it. Like, why have to feel your way through until, you know, Bobby's ready to go? You know, this is not a – Wisconsin is too prestigious of a program to have somebody be learning on the job.
And that's what, like, Ingram's doing, right?
Like, if you have somebody that's a freak of nature, you know, coaching savant like Leonard, sure, you can take that risk. But you don't – like, there's no reason whatsoever why we should be doing that with multiple positions, you know, like we did this last year. And I'm sorry, but I mean, I realize this is somebody's livelihood that we're talking about, but right now it's also going to be Leonard's livelihood. Like, this falls on his head. If he gets this hire wrong and Wisconsin, say, has a coordinator that the ceiling is 30 points per game and they end up going 8-4 a bunch, Leonard's going to get fired. Like, he's going to be pushed out and they're going to say, this isn't good enough. We want to be back to where we were. And that's tough.
We need to be, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, we're not rooting for anybody to
have
a problem. Like, but we also have to be objective with it and be honest about how we feel about these things. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's coaches out there who have proven over several years that they can put an offense on the field. And you have to go and get a guy who you know can do that, because the upside with Ingram might be large, but the downside is so big with a guy like him because he just hasn't proven it. So, again, it goes back to the idea of you don't need to accept that type of downside at Wisconsin. You can go get somebody that you know for a fact can put an offense on the field, who can utilize the passing game, who has had previous success at the college level as a recruit, as a coordinator, and as a recruiter. Like, that's the other thing, too. Like, it's been a year. Bobby Ingram didn't have an exceptional recruiting season, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked to John Garcia Jr. from Sports Illustrated, and we asked him point blank, a guy who covers it on the national level for Sports Illustrated, how long should it take for a new coach to get in rhythm? And John was like, listen, this thing moves fast. If you're not recruiting within a couple months, you know, like, you don't get a year's worth of don't worry about it, you're new to this. So go get a guy who's proven he can be a big-time recruiter and who's proven he can put an offense on the field. And you don't need to take that type of risk at an offensive spot that, quite frankly, is going to be so critical for a first-time coach who's a defensive guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at the quarterback recruiting this year. Like, as an example, like, that was a train wreck.
Yep.
Like, we went from having 4 or 5 targets that just nothing worked out, and then we just sat on it for, like, 3 or 4 months where we just didn't even offer anybody.
And we both, like,
what are we doing?
But the LeCrew offer should have came sooner, quite frankly.
Yeah, exactly. Or, yeah, I love LeCrew, but, like, if you felt really good about the guy, and I realized they told him he had things to work on. I do not like how quarterback recruiting happens in college. Like, they'll slow play somebody who's a little under the radar. And LeCrew is a guy who just wasn't a big camp guy. Like, he just didn't have that ability. So, okay. Well, you didn't throw at a camp, so we can't put, like, come on. Like, 7-on-7, and that's all garbage.
Right. I hear you on that. I feel like we're being overly, I don't want to say overly negative, but I do want to say we have no idea which way Jim Leonard's going to go on this.
Yeah, we don't.
Both of us are on the same boat that we think he should move away from Bobby Ingram. I want to transition to the other coaches, and you give me a stay or go away. Maybe that's too harsh. But just your feel for if they're going to be.
Just say yes or no.
Yeah, yes or no.
Should they be retained?
Stay or go away is too harsh. Ready for this? Let's go running back coach, Al Johnson.
Go.
Okay, receivers coach, Alvis Whitted.
Stay.
Tight ends coach, Chris Herring.
Go.
Offensive line, Bob Bosted.
Can I give I'm going to say stay. Like, okay. I think that if he's given more time, I think the line will get better.
Okay. I think that's fair. Anything else you want to talk about on the offensive side for the coaching?
Well, I think that, Wisconsin can't do this part way. Like, if we make adjustments and it's just we're effectively going to try to maintain what we've been doing and just add a few wrinkles, that's not going to work. It's just, at best, you'll slightly slow down what's already happening with their offensive philosophy that is just basically, you know, turning itself into an antique. So at this point, it's like buy into what's working out there and learn to evaluate yourself on a season-by-season basis and add to that. Like, you need to find ways to stay fresh with your offensive philosophy and continue to move forward. This is why I like defensive coaches, because defensive coaches are always forced to have to adjust or to disappear. Because as a defensive coach, you either figure out a way to stop the next greatest offense, or you're going to get blown off the field and you won't be a defensive coordinator anymore.
You're going to get retired.
As an offensive coach, you have a little more rope, because unless your offense completely stagnates and dies, people will let you get away with it, provided you're not losing. Like, if you're scoring 25 to 30 points a game and your team is finding ways to win, you can get away with that. That doesn't mean you're doing an excellent job. It just means that you're not quite so bad that you're getting booted.
All right. That's very well said. All right. Coming up, we have some listener comments. I always say user comments. I don't know why. Listener comments, including some interesting takes on Braylon Allen and if the coaching staff is putting him out there when maybe they shouldn't be. Some stuff to get into with that. So that's coming up next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Nissan. This week's thrilling moment in college football is brought to you by Nissan. The thrilling designs behind the new lineup from Nissan are intended to empower drivers in vehicles as capable as the drivers themselves. When I think of unbelievable abilities on the field for this week's thrilling moment, and we, in honor of just playing Nebraska, we got to go back to 2014, go back to that Melvin Gordon 408 performance. If we're thinking about thrilling moments on the college football field, in three quarters, Melvin Gordon eviscerated and ripped the heart out of the blackshirt defense. That was a 17-3 game. Nebraska was up. Melvin Gordon took that handoff down the right sideline, hurdled somebody 60-something yards, touchdown, and he was on his way through three quarters. The best rushing performance I've ever seen in an individual game. If he had ran that fourth quarter, if Nebraska had kept that game close, Gordon was going for 500 yards. I mean, it was unbelievable. 16.3 yards per carry, and just as dominant a performance as you will ever see at the college level. And that is this week's thrilling performance from Nissan. Again, Nissan is empowering drivers and vehicles as capable as the drivers themselves. When I think of unbelievable abilities on the field, it's Nissan, it's Melvin Gordon. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Locked On Badgers, continuing to listen to the show. We're going to bring Justin back on. We have some listener comments, some fun things to get into and just chop it up a little bit. We always try to take comments from people who listen to the show, bring them up here so, you know, we can continue getting your input into it. That's what this is all about. We always talk about a building community. This one is from GoldDigger65. I watched the Iowa-Minnesota game to contrast these programs with ours. It was eye-opening to observe how far we have fallen compared to those two teams. Prove me wrong. Justin, have we fallen below that Iowa-Minnesota level as a program?
I think right now both of those teams have something more that they can hang their hat on. Minnesota has their running game. Mo Ibrahim. Listen, that team is going to fall off a cliff next year when they don't have, you know, a bunch of 8-year starters that are still on the roster. Iowa's defense is a legitimately elite defense this year. And Wisconsin's is not quite to that level. And offensively, there's just nothing working for Wisconsin this year. And that's the bigger problem. Iowa's defense has bailed out their offense, the fact that they've been so good. They've actually scored a fair amount of touchdowns. Wisconsin has had a few here and there. But the issue is that there's nothing on offense that we do truly well this year that we can hang our hat on and be like, all right, when we push comes to shove and we need 5 yards, there's not a play in our playbook that we can look at and be like, we're going to hit this 85% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm not going to say they've fallen behind.
They're not. They're kind of all in the same.
Yeah. I think they're all kind of muddled up in the same soup. Right. And it's not
Wisconsin wasn't there. Yeah, Wisconsin wasn't there before.
Well, we've been there for a couple years, though, I would argue. It's been a couple years of being in that soup. You know, certainly at least 2020, 2021, 2022. So I think they're all muddled in there. But I don't think, and I appreciate the comment, Gold Digger. It's hard for me to even say it with a straight face. That I appreciate the comment, Gold Digger. But that is his username. Let's keep going. His or hers, I don't know. Next comment up. I think the game would have looked and felt a lot different if receivers were catching the ball and if Allen wasn't banged up. Travis Hartman. Justin, was it just the game, the offense, a function of Braylon Allen was banged up and receivers are dropping the ball? Or is this continued just offensive inconsistency that we've seen all year?
I don't know what to make of Allen. I can't remember the last game I saw him look healthy. So it's hard for me to say what he would have been in that game. I will say this. He looked like the weakest of the three running backs. He was definitely struggling out there on the field. Now, the catches, like, I feel like that's a little bit of a crutch. We had three drops in the game, and one of those was a very tough catch in the inside of the end zone by DK. Should he have made the catch? Yeah, probably. But, like, two of those catches were super early in the game. Like, we had the DK drop that was on, like, first or second down, where it was, like, 6 or 7 yards over the middle, went through his hands. Mm-hmm. And I think you, had the Bell drop that was the one that was one of the very first plays of the game where he went up for it, and he should have caught that ball. Yep. And it would have been a big play. But it wasn't like it was a foregone conclusion touchdown on that. Like, I think we would have had it at, like, the other team's 40 or something like that.
I thought the DK drop near the goal line was the worst of the three.
That would have been a momentum shift. But it's like, I mean, honestly, I look at it and it's like, we're just not clicking. Like, we have not executed at a high level all season long. Like, you can, the Northwestern game continues to look like more and more of an outlier just every week.
Well, I would say the Northwestern game is not even an outlier. Like, Northwestern is just terrible, and they've done that every week. So, I mean, an outlier for us, but that's been consistently Northwestern.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. I'm just saying from our production, it's an outlier in terms of us looking like a competent offense.
We're going to get a little bit more into Allen again on the next comment. So I just want to hit on the receiver ones here. And Travis, thank you for the comment. For me, I mean, yeah, the game would look a lot different in a lot of our games if our receivers made plays or if our quarterback made better plays. Like, this is just a passing game that doesn't work. So I feel like you can take a version of this comment for every game we play and said the game would have looked different if Mertz had hit his passes or if the pass production had held up. The pass game's broken. It's been broken all year.
That's been broken for the last 5 years.
Yeah. So to me, no, I hear you. Like, if they make those catches, it would help. But it's just been systematic of our passing game the entire year. A lad says, well, it was a win. Why was Allen playing so obviously hurt? I think it showed some character as it came from behind to pull it out. We had to run the ball, but there was no creativity. This is where I said we're going to get a little bit more into Braylon Allen. And I want to focus on that first part of this. I think the coaching staff, I don't have a hard time understanding why you're putting someone out there who is clearly, doesn't even look like 90%. Yeah. He looks like a shell of himself.
He looks like 70% at best.
Yeah, and you have Malusi ran really well today. And y'all know, Garendo has to get the ball more. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why they're just force-feeding Braylon Allen. It feels like, is that a way? The first thought I had, and I don't know if this is as any basis, but the fan in me said, are they keeping him happy so this transfer stuff, some of the smoke goes away?
It could be. I mean, listen, there are very few players who are going to take themselves off the field injured or not. And I just think that he's, you know, most guys aren't going to tell you that they need to be taken off. It's clear watching him on the field, he does not belong on the field. And in fact,
maybe like 10 touches.
Well, look at it this way. Would you have rather him not played this last week and been ready for Minnesota? Because I, in a heartbeat, would have said I'd much rather have him be a week fresher and ready to go against Minnesota than even more dinged up, having played against them and played against a team that we should beat.
I'll say this. I want to start, because I think it's an interesting question. I want to start by giving respect to Braylon for trying to get it out. Clearly, he was hurt.
Yeah.
I think he came into the game in better shape in that first kind of bad fall the guy took on his shoulder where he wasn't prepared for it. So I think he was in better, and then he took that shot and he came right out and then he was never right. Mm-hmm. So I was okay with him playing and I respect it, but I think at some point as a coach, you have to be, you just have to see the other guys are fresher and Braylon Allen is really hobbled out there. So it's something to continue kind of looking at. Let's see. We got one more here from Jeff Ferris. JL's been mum on his offensive philosophy, but he's made some hints. My guess, they're going to go dual threat, dynamic quarterback who can beat defenses with arms, legs, zone read, RPO, et cetera. That's from Jeff Ferris. I mean, to that, I think we'd both say, yeah, that'd be nice.
I think kind of that's where I see him going. Like, there's segments of the fan base that seem to think that we're going to do like very small variations off what we're at. I don't believe that. I think Leonard, if there's one thing that I think Leonard probably thinks after the last 4 or 5 years of watching this offense in practice, it's that this is not challenging me. And if it's not challenging me, then it's not challenging most of the defenses in college football. We're just not dominant enough on the offensive line anymore to inflict our offense on teams. which means we have to find ways to push the ball down the field beyond just running. Like, we've got to balance things out and make it easier to run, which is why we've talked about RPO before. Like, I for the life of me don't understand why we haven't been using. We used it a ton against Northwestern, and then we run it like one time a game against everybody else. Yeah. It's like, that was tailor-made for playing against Iowa. Like, their linebackers were screaming downhill against our run game. We were not running the ball well at all. Like, if there's one thing that can slow them down, it's putting the ball into the chest, pulling it back out, and throwing it right over their heads.
It is wild. Why are we not doing this? It is wild how that just disappeared. Yeah. I would love to have the answer to that one.
Like, we did a couple of cute wrinkles on it, but it's like, mm-hmm. we never went back to the slants after the initial run through. And part of that could be leverage. But and it probably was, because we saw most of our receivers were going to the outside and running 5 yard outs or whatever. But it's like, you have to find ways to get them out of that leverage. And obviously we're not challenging them enough to the edge of the field in order for that to work for us. So there's got to be a way. You've got to do something to break that defense out of what it's doing and dictate. It's what we've talked about with Jim Leonard from the start. He goes out there, he's aggressive, he takes it to the offense and makes them adjust to him. You have to find a way to get the offense to be aggressive and make a defense adjust to you. Mm-hmm. And that's how you're going to be a dominant offense in college football. It's what Ohio State does.
Well, that and 7 5-star receivers.
Yes. I mean, but that's part of it is they attack and they're extremely aggressive.
Yeah, they are. I love how they call their offensive style. Like, we've talked about that before. Not only does Ohio State out-talent you, they out-scheme you. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of scary stuff to see. I heard a coach say one time, if you can make the linebackers, the defense take one false step, you're winning. And that's where, if you have zone read, RPOs, you know, a quarterback that's mobile, you know, like a quarterback mm-hmm. can really put stress on the edges of a defense. Like, I think I'm right there with you. I think Jim Leonard is going to go in those directions. That's what I hope, and that's what I believe is going to happen. And that is our show today, guys. I really do appreciate it. Thank you, as always, to Justin for jumping in. I'm sure we're going to talk again this week. This is a big week. Not only do we have Dayton coming up, which is a really good basketball team that mm-hmm. the Badgers have to take on. It's Axe week. It's hate week.
The Dayton game, just real quick, that is a game. That is a big milestone game for the Badgers. Mm-hmm. If they can find a way to win that game, it'll be very telling towards their season in terms mm-hmm. of how much development we've seen from basically Wall, from the other couple guys, how much better they've gotten this last couple seasons. So
it's a big one. And then we got next week, we got the Leonard news. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So we're gonna keep talking to you guys, talk to you tomorrow. Justin, as always, appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. Locked On Badgers, your first listen every day. When you're done here, go check out Locked On Sports Today, all the biggest sports news of the day on the Locked On Sports Network, available wherever you get podcasts. Thanks, guys. On Wisconsin.